work is different, you know, just some things coincide together, some don't, as far as their writings. But here you see the four, these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they record the birth of Christ, they record his healings, they record his miracles, they record things that Jesus did for people, how he went out of his way to heal the blind man, how he went out of his way to speak an encouraging word to a prostitute, you know, and helped her, you know, and from going back into that lifestyle. And then we also see at the end of most of them that we see that his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And those four books take care of all the things that Jesus in the physical body, okay, his physical body being born to the time he died, resurrected, you know, in his ascension upon the earth and the things that he did. When we look at the book of Acts, if you go to the first page of your Bible, it says this, the Acts of the Apostles. I know we cut it short. I mean, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, the book of Acts, you know. Or you can say the book of action. Or, like it says, the book of the apostles. Or the book of the church. The church age. The church. You know, because Jesus had died. Now, we know after Jesus' death, before he resurrected, before he went and sat on the throne room next to our Father, he was on the earth for those 40 days or so before his ascension, okay? His death, he died, he was born, he died, he resurrected from the grave, and he stayed upon the earth for 40 days before his actual ascension into the throne room next to the Father. And for most of those 40 days, he's roaming the earth with his what? Disciples. Helping them because they were discouraged at some points. You know, they were kind of like, what's going on? We thought he would be king. You know, they were ready to put Jesus upon the throne, upon the earth at that time. And Jesus kept telling them that he would die and rise on the third day. And he would die and rise on the third day. But it's like they didn't want to believe that. No, that didn't get too far in their minds or even in their hearts. But the book of the Acts of the Apostles, or the book of the Acts of Action, or the book of the Acts of the Church, because that's where you see the church rising up, the disciples rising up, Paul and Silas and all these guys, you know, Peter and James and all these people rising up, and the mighty miracles, the power of our God. And here we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. Ooh, hallelujah, people. For 40 days, can you imagine Jesus coming? Now, that's Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, what happens? We get into this. Acts chapter 2 is when the Spirit of God, the day of Pentecost came. The day of Pentecost could not come to the ascension of our Lord and Savior. Could not come. Jesus had to be ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. Then the Spirit of God could be loosed out upon the earth. And that's what happened. Here we see, to whom that also he showed himself alive. Look, those disciples were discouraged. Have you ever been discouraged about something? Oh, you know, you say, oh, Pastor Joe, oh, Lord, oh, discouraged maybe about family, maybe discouraged about job, discouraged about just things, you know, in general. Well, these disciples were discouraged. And for 40 days, it says that he taught these again. For 40 days, he helped them and encouraged them. For 40 days, he showed himself, look, himself, what? Alive to the church age in the book of Acts. Let me tell you, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's not dead next to the Father. He's alive and well. Let me tell you, and God hears our prayers, and he moves on our behalf. He moves on your behalf as you call upon him in the morning, as you call upon him in the noontime, as you call upon him in the evening time. My God, your God is there listening because he is alive and well. He is alive and well. That's the kind of God we serve. He's not dead to the things of the church. He's not dead to the things of his people, but he is alive and well. The book of Acts himself, alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. That means he proved that he had arisen from the grave. Because you see, as the disciples were kind of discouraged, how could they go preach about Jesus? You know, when we get discouraged, what do we want to do? What do we do when we get, you close in, you know, and you see these disciples, and he knew it, because the church stood on the head of 12 men. The heads of 12 men, and we know one messed up. They all messed up, but one didn't come back. That's not a laughing thing either. One didn't come back and ended up in hell. But the church relied upon God, the Father, relied upon 12 men to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I said, that's not a lot of people. No, it's not. But let me tell you, with God, all things are possible. You might be thinking, Pastor, but you don't know the situation of what's going on. But let me tell you this. You know a God that can change that situation and turn it around. As we rely upon him and say, Father, move upon that situation and help us to get through it, Lord. You know, sometimes in our walk with God, you know, we go from what? The hilltops to the what? Who likes to be in the valley? Who likes it? Raise your hand. Oh. Nobody raised their hand. Let me ask you this. Who likes to be on the mountaintop? Sometimes we need the valleys, for us. So sometimes we can see some things in our hearts that God can change, and we can know about some things. But we all like to be on the mountaintop. I understand that. Who doesn't? The valleys come, though. But I tell you what, let me tell you this. The God that's the God of the hilltop and the mountaintop is still the God in the valley. Yeah. Yeah. Still the God in the valley. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my God. Look, the story that I read, it blows me away every time I read it. How these three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the trumpet blew, their knees were shaking because they knew they couldn't bow to that statue. They were in the valley. They were in that valley. Now, there were many other Jews there that knew the God of Jehovah. Many others. But they bowed. They kept sticking. And so man, they look out with the binoculars, just making that, you know. There's three. Shh. One, two, yeah, three. They're not bowing. Oh, what's going on? Maybe they didn't hear. There were hundreds around them and bowed. Maybe they didn't hear me when the trumpet blew. He did it again and he stooped. We know the end of the story. They didn't know the end of the story. I bet you they could see the furnace and they knew that furnace had been used many a times to kill people. To kill people that didn't subject their lives to the king and didn't do what the king wanted them to do. And they knew that their God, however he wanted to do it, was the God in the high tops of the mountain, but also he's the God in the valley. And even when things get bad, well, I know it, and things get hard sometimes, and we don't know where to turn, we look to our God still. Because he can take the valley and he can make it. Look at this. He can take the valley and make it into the mountain. That's the kind of God we serve, people. Amen. When things look bad, when things don't look good with our natural eye, God says, let me let you see it through my eyes. Oh, hallelujah! See it through the eyes of our Lord and our Savior, what he can do and what he will do as we trust in him to take care of things in our own personal lives and take care of things in our church and in our community, Lord. The power of Almighty God. That trumpet blew again and they didn't stay. And the king got so mad. But we know the end of the story. They threw him in seven times hard. They said, blow it up. But fire. They bound these two guys up. And I tell you, the devil try to bind you up. Try to make us think that what we believe is not right or not true. But according to the word of God, it's always true.
Amen.
Stand for the truth no matter what.
Yeah.
You might be the only barrier between you and your family from going to heaven or hell. But stand up. Stand up. They know that's not true. This is what the Bible says. Oh, that's not truth. This is what the Bible says. There's only one God. And we're to bow to only one God. And that's our Father, Jesus, and his Son. One God. And all of a sudden, the king said, throw them in. And they threw these guys in. Oh, my Lord. Can you imagine how scared they look? I know we read through these scriptures like nothing. But can you imagine when they got these three guys and in front of the king, they start bounding up their hands and their feet. 100% man. And knowing that your faith, then you're going to die. But this is it. But we don't realize sometimes, you know, and every time I know this, and you know it too, every time we can start to go through something, the power of Almighty God that is in our lives. Something he'll speak to us. It's like a peace that comes over our bodies. It's like something that God does on the inside. Oh, this, my God. That we might be shaking on the outside a little bit, but let me tell you, on the inside, we know our God is in control.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I know the Spirit of God was on those three guys.
Amen.
And they had peace on the inside because he takes care of his people. Threw them in. And we know. They look in there and they say, oh my God, there's one that looks like the Son of Man. We know he was the Son of Man that was in there. That should speak to you and I today. That we never walk in the valley and we never walk on the mountaintop by ourselves. Never. That he's always with us. When we're doing good financially, he's with us. When we're not doing good financially, he's with us. When we're doing good with our families, he's with us. When we're not doing good with our families, he's with us. When our kids are doing good, he's with us. When our kids, we want to beat them up, knock them out, he's still with us. He's still with us no matter what. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were standing there. He was with them when they were tying them up. He was with them when they got into the fiery furnace. And he was with them when they came out. My God, that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What a God we serve, people. What a God we serve. In Acts chapter 16, if you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. I want to read that first. My God, what a God we serve. It said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, and this is Paul and Silas they were referring to with what they went through in Acts chapter 16. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. And you might say, what do you mean about all that stuff? Here we see. This is referring to Paul and Silas. Remember in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas? Remember, they went to Philippi, and man, they were going around, and they were praying with people, and helping with people. And they had this little girl, young damsel, they called her, came, and she was speaking all kinds of good things about them, and she had a spirit of divination. I mean, kept speaking like, you know, believe these men, they're of God, believe these men. And all of a sudden, it says that Paul and Paul turned around and he cast that thing out of that girl. It's a spirit, a devilish spirit. That's why we got to be careful. We got to know the spirit of God. And all of a sudden, the owner of that girl, which is sad, the owner, got mad at Paul and Silas and rev people up and had them thrown in prison. And here, this is what he's speaking of. He says, but even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully treated, as you know, at Philippi, and were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. And we know they took Paul and Silas and they threw them in prison. They beat them. It says that they stripped them of their clothes down to their waist and beat them because they helped one girl, but one guy lost his money. See, it all goes back to the love of money. Everything. The root of all sin in the world is the love of money. And if God can take that out of our hearts, that love, and put in our hearts the love for him above anything else, that is victory. That is victory in our personal lives. They took away the girl that made him money. These people got so mad that they took Paul and Silas and they threw them in jail. After they beat them, after they stripped them of their clothes, just that is degrading. I mean, stripped of your clothes in front of everybody, you know. Beat. And all of a sudden it says that they throw him in prison. Now we're talking about the book of Acts. That's why Paul can say this. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. We are bold, you know why? Because they saw how God had taken them out of prison. How God fought for them. they were bold to speak the things of God and not ashamed. You see, I know every one of you in here, you have seen the power of Almighty God in your life from the time you got saved, even before that, to bring you into salvation. But after you got saved, the power of Almighty God, how He speaks to you and tells you things, how He has healed our bodies, He's given us wisdom, how He moves upon us. I know personally, I'm telling you, at times, just walking and doing whatever, even in my home, just walking to do something, and the Spirit of God will just come over me and speak a word unto me, sometimes a whole sentence unto me. And it's like I just, oh, thank you. That's why. See, it says that His children are led by the Spirit of God. Not by the wisdom of men, but by the wisdom of Almighty God and what He can do. I know many of you, God has done miracles, signs. You've seen signs and wonders that you, because of those things and what He has done in our hearts, how He's helped us to overcome evil in our hearts and overcome sin in our lives. That the book of Acts, we're still living in the book of Acts. We're still living in it. We're going to see more than ever before the miracles, signs, and wonders of our God. Amen. It says this in the last days, that He's going to pour out His Spirit. And let me tell you, when God says something, He means it. That He's going to pour out His Spirit upon, and look, He's talking about pouring out His Spirit upon the church, the body of Christ, the people that are seeking Him, the people that have their faith and trust in Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross, the power of Almighty God, seeing God move like we've never seen Him move before. Praise God Almighty. My Lord. Don't be shy about your God. Be bold. And they were bold to speak the gospel. Because they saw what God did. Now, let's say, what did God do? Here they are in prison. Here they are in prison, and their legs are spread out to bring hurt to their bodies. They spread out their legs, and they spread out their arms. They shackled them. They put them in the inner dungeon chambers where rats and snakes and all kinds of, I was watching a show last night. It'll make you think about going to a restaurant. You know that show, Restaurant Impossible? He goes in and takes $10,000 and he redoes the whole, And look, he went to New Orleans. We said, oh Lord. It's good, but it's like New Orleans. And he was trying to redo this restaurant. It was a restaurant and a barber shop. The lady was a barber, which was an amazing thing. I'd never seen that before, but it was together, so he had to do both of them. And look, dirt, roaches all over the place. I mean, it's bad. Goes in but cleans it up. I mean, tears, not the outside part, not the room, but the inside, redoes everything. It comes out so nice, and he trains the staff. And these are restaurants that are about to go under. And he goes and he helps save them. Good job. Helps them know how to, order food and cook food and stuff like that. Well, our God is a restorer of souls, people, that can restore. And God can bring boldness to His people. Remember the things that God has spoken to. Remember the day you got saved. Remember when you were down and out and you were doing horrible things and the power of God came over you. Remember that. Remember what God can do in your heart and in your life. And that will make you bold to speak. That will make you stand up and say, look, this is what I know about my God. this is what he's done for me. Let me tell you how he restores and how he brings back what the devil tries to tear down. God is the God that restores souls. Lord, and our God, to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now look at this. Acts chapter 16. Look at verse 25. It's an amazing thing. I love what God can do. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And that doesn't mean, you know, like the comment said, they had been praying all night. They've been in there praying. And saying praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. That means the comment was talking about how the Greek, it says, suggests that they would have an outburst of songs. Just singing while you're chained up and hurting is an amazing thing. But you see, there was nothing else they could do but pray or sing. See, sometimes God will get us to a place where all we can do is pray or sing praises unto him. And that's what he wants. Because you know what? I can grant you this. As Paul and Silas were there, chained up, they could have said, "Oh, poor me. I tried to stand up for what was right, and look what he got. You know, I helped deliver this girl out of bondage, and look, Lord, look what happened to me. Look." But they didn't do that. They didn't say, "Oh, poor me." Don't ever get in that situation. You probably know a lot of people like that. Poor me, poor me. No. Not poor me. No, we look to a God that can change everything. It's how we look at things. As they're chained up, they just start praising their God. I don't know what they said. But I know every time their mouth closed and they weren't praising him, I'm sure they were praying to him. Not knowing what would happen, but trusting their God. You know, they didn't know they'd even get out of prison. I mean, look, we have it good today as Christians. I mean, we have it great, you know. I thank God for raising up this country. Thank you, Lord, that we can promote the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. How we can send Bibles wherever we want to that will open up. You know, how we can get out and I can walk out that door and just say, "Jesus," and preach the gospel if I want to out that door. We can do it because of our freedom. And as they were praying, it says, the next verse. Can you pull up the next verse? Okay, and the key to the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Stop right there. The other part of that, it says that the shackles came off. That's a sign to us. The shackles of bondage. As we look to Christ, the shackles of bondage that bring bondages to our minds or to our hearts of the evil world, God can break those things. He can break those things. Can you imagine an earthquake? And an earthquake, that's not just an ordinary earthquake. It's amazing we have an earthquake that broke all the doors open and took the shackles off of all these men. Their feet and their hands. That's God. And all of a sudden the keeper says, "Oh my God, they're all gone." And Paul hollers out, "Oh no, we're all here. We're all here." The keeper. God touched the keeper of the prisoner's heart. We don't realize that sometimes God will allow us to go through something so that it can be a blessing as the people out in the world see what we go through, how we still glorify God, and it will bring them to repentance. Even though Paul and Silas were in that prison praying and worshiping their God and praying unto him, you know, they didn't know what God was going to do, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake. That's your God that did that. And it says that God is what, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in a miracle working power of Paul and Silas's life, he can do in your life. He can change, and he can take the shackles off. And he can move in our hearts and in our lives like never before. And all of a sudden, it says the keeper about to kill himself. Paul hollers out, "No, no, no, we're still here." And you can read the scriptures later. How him, the keeper, and his family came to the knowledge of Christ. Oh, that's the name of the game. The name of the game is souls for God. The name of the game is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he died for your sins. That the power of Almighty God is here for you. That whatever you need, I can help you with if it's according to my will. My God. You know, the Bible says that whatever two shall agree upon the earth, it shall be done. Yes, thank you, Lord, that we have that promise. That, hey, if I'm praying about something, I can have somebody else come and we can pray about it. And if, now this is the if it's according to God's will for us. Mm-hmm. If it's according to God's will for us, that we can take two shall agree. It's amazing. Paul and Silas were praying. They were in that jail together. They had two of them. Whatever two shall agree upon the earth, it shall be. They were worshiping their God. Can you imagine the praise that went forth? The worship of their God. That everybody in that prison heard them. You know, even though they were probably in the worst part of the prison than any other of the other prisoners, yet they were the ones worshiping their God. Let me tell you, in the valley, worship your God. On the mountaintop, worship your God. No matter where we are in our relationship to the Lord, get up and worship and say, "Lord, I raise my hands in worship unto you because you are my King, my Lord, my God, my Savior. And no matter what goes on, I will worship you." And let me tell you, your miracle may come. Ooh, I know many of us are praying about a lot of things. And it's only God that can do it. Only God. Only God. That's a good place to be in, though. Because God is able. God is able. There's nothing too difficult, and there's nothing too hard that God cannot do. He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament. He saved Paul and Silas in the New Testament. And he'll save us today in 2019. What a God we serve. Amen. Praise God, people. Be excited about your God. He's not dead, he's alive. Last week I talked to you about how God loves us. He loves us. You know, he just doesn't say, "Well, what harm can I do to him or her?" He loves us. And he wants the best for us. Because of the love that comes out of his heart towards his people. Out of all the creation in all the world, humanity is number one. But you say, "But not the angels? Not heaven? Not the streets of gold? Not those pearly gates? No. Not all the other planets in all the world? No. The greatest creation that God has ever made is humanity. You and I. Because every one of us is a replica of our God. We look like Him. We're made like Him. Spirit, soul, and body. Like our God. Amazing. That's why the devil hates you so much. Every time he comes around and his little demons come around and all that stuff come around and they see me or they see you, they see God. Not that we're gods. No. But we're made in the image. That's why he tries to desecrate humanity. That's why he tries to lower humanity in every which way that he can. From destruction to evil to horrors of what goes on with humanity upon the earth. That's why God says in his one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. Should have been killed, should have been murdered, should have been there. Because he does not like the murder of another human being that represents God. Now, I'm not talking about self-protection. No. But you just to go out and do, well, that is totally against God. Totally. Let me tell you this. God loves you. God cares about you. He loves who you are. He likes to change us because we're made in His image. And the Spirit of God is wanting to move. Let God be God in your heart. Be bold. Because of all that we have gone through as a church, you know, as a body of believers, as individuals, you know, because everybody's been saved at a different time. I mean, you know, different year, different time. I mean, you know, no one, I think, has the same spiritual birthday that I know of. And some have been saved 5 years, some have been saved 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, whatever. But we still have to be on the plan that God has set before us and do what He calls us to do. To be bold in the things of God by calling Silas, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 2. Bold with the things of God. But that doesn't mean, you know, they were not whatever. They just stood up for what was right and spoke the word. Spoke it to me. What a God who served. What a God who served. Would you please stand, please? Jesus. Amen. As every head is bowed for just a minute, I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you would like to do so today, would you please raise your hand? I want to make sure. Let's pray together that they have, that they want to pray for sinners' prayer together. So let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my Lord, my God, and my Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated just for a minute, please. Can you text mom? You ready to share?